The Capital Confidential podcast is brought to you by the Times Union, the leading newspaper in New York's Capital Region. Subscribe today or visit online at timesunion.com.
You want to deport an undocumented person? Start with me, because I'm an undocumented person.
How do we beat him in an election?
We will. I'm going to run against him.
I wish you would.
There are things in here that are unobjectionable because they're not that effective. So yeah, sure, I'll vote for a distinctive license plate. Sure, why not?
Jim, you had your press conference at 4 o'clock.
You're having a press conference now?
That's right, I'm having a press conference.
Well, is this your space here or is it public?
No, it's my space.
Oh, this is your space.
Don't interrupt. Okay.
I'm David Lombardo, and this is the Capital Confidential podcast. For this episode, we're looking at the campaign petition process, which is how virtually all candidates get on the ballot. To understand this summer tradition, I'm talking with Nick Willock, a Saratoga County Republican who is a veteran of local campaigns and has helped multiple candidates secure their spot on the ballot. Nick, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for inviting me in, Dave. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I mean, we're in the midst of petition season right now, and I couldn't think of anyone better or more willing to come on the show than you. So this was perfect. And so I guess for starters, let's just jump right in. The petition process, what is it and what's going on right now?
Petition process is, as you've previously mentioned, that is really the only way to get a candidate eligible for the ballot in the primary, if there's a primary election in September,
right,
or the general election ballot in the fall. Obviously, there's committee to fill vacancies, and we can get into that too. That's where if a candidate drops out, or there's a
nerd alert,
that the committee to fill vacancies will appoint someone to fill that slot. But generally, a candidate needs to go out. They need to collect a minimum number of signatures to be eligible for the ballot. And without collecting those signatures, the minimum number required, they are not eligible for the ballot.
And these are signatures from who? If I'm a Republican, am I looking for just anybody, or does it have to be Republicans?
If you're going out and collecting for a Republican candidate, you can only collect signatures from registered enrolled Republicans within that, whatever jurisdiction that you're collecting for that particular candidate. Same thing for Democrats. Democrat candidates can only collect signatures from Democrats, and same thing with the minor party lines as well, conservative, independents, working family, and so forth.
And can anybody collect the signatures, or do you have to be enrolled in that party to actually do the collecting yourself?
No, if I'm a registered Republican, so I can go out and I can collect Republican signatures at any point in time, no issues, and I'm a registered Republican, I can do that. If I elected to go out, and I go out and collect minor party signatures, independents, conservative, reform party, you need to be a licensed notary. So you need to take an exam in order to get your notary. It's about a 50-question exam. You pass it, you get your notary, and then you can go out and you can collect those minor party signatures. Or if you're an attorney,
right?
Generally, attorneys are notaries, obviously, so attorneys can go out and collect signatures for any lines as well.
And commissioner of deeds, too? Is that the other?
Commissioner, yes.
That was something I had never even heard of what it was until I actually worked a campaign. And commissioner of deeds, they were a hot commodity as you're trying to collect third-party lines.
Yeah, they can be. They are very tough to come by, but if you get one, latch onto them and become their friend, because they can be very helpful when you're trying to collect signatures.
Well, then I guess coming back now, when I said, you know, we're in the petition season, tell me about this window where you can collect signatures. I mean, how long is it? And, you know, is it just a shotgun going off and everybody heads out into the field?
Generally, it's the first the petition season starts generally the first Tuesday of June. So this year, I believe that was June 5th.
Yeah, right. And that's for state. This is for state races. The different calendar for congressional races.
Yeah,
right?
That's a very important distinction. So that change went into effect, I think, 3, maybe 4 years ago.
With the court ruling, yeah, the move to the primary.
Correct.
Right.
So for example, congressional candidates, I believe they usually start the first Tuesday in March.
Right.
They start very early.
Burr.
I got to tell you, it is incredibly difficult to motivate committee members in any party to go out in the middle of March, especially given, as you recall, the winter that we had this
yes.
year. It's incredibly difficult to get folks and volunteers, notaries, commissioner needs to go out and march, but they go out and march. And for state local races, it is the first Tuesday in June. It's generally about 4.5 to 5 week window. The clock stops. You have to have everything submitted to the state or your board of elections. Again, that's depending on the jurisdiction. If it's a local or county wholly contained within a county that goes to that, it has to be filed.
But multiple counties.
Multiple counties. If it crosses county lines, it has to be filed down at the State Board of Elections in Albany.
And, you know, you mentioned the conditions of petitioning in March. You know, this is a little off topic, but there's a debate in the legislature constantly about changing the primary date. And one of the concerns that, you know, opponents of moving the September primary to June say is that it's hard in the spring to collect those signatures. You know, they in New York City, it's a completely different collecting process. We can get to this, but you know, up in upstate, when you're having to go out in the cold door to door, it's a challenge. So you mentioned the party members who collect signatures. For most candidates, is it a simple process of your local committee members are the ones who are going to be doing the collecting, or is it like their own campaign volunteers? Who does the bulk of the work for them?
I would say it's a blend of both. I would say that, you know, as a Saratoga County guy, we are blessed with a very strong county Republican committee infrastructure, and that goes back to the past several chairmen that have really worked to build that up. So we're in Saratoga County, we're very fortunate. The committee structure does collect the bulk of the signatures, but then really the pylon, the add-on, what really puts you over are that candidate's volunteers.
Gotcha.
You know, their workers, their coordinators. So it's generally a blend. There's other towns that both regionally and across the state that I've worked in where the committee structure just isn't there. And it's not exclusive to Republicans. I mean, Democrats have similar issues in similar areas of the state as well. And it's very, very difficult to get the committee infrastructure to go out and get signatures. So they are heavily reliant on volunteers and notaries.
What I've seen in the past is that if you're in an area where, you know, it's a Republican stronghold and you've got a Republican committee, you know, they're usually pretty good about it. If it's a, you know, your Republican committee in a Democratic area, it can be tougher and vice versa. You know, I was doing a campaign out in Montgomery County, which is not exactly, you know, a Democratic stronghold. And the committee was kind of all over the place. In central areas like Amsterdam, you know, they had a good turnout. They had a good operation. When you went to more rural areas, it was a challenge. And I assume the reverse would be the case for a Republican. So if you're the sort of establishment candidate, the endorsed candidate, you're definitely going to have the committee support. And can you talk about what the committees go out with? My understanding is usually they'll have a slate of petitions with them. So you're getting the state Senate candidate signed, the state assembly, you know, the county court judge who's ever on the ballot that year. Is that pretty much how it works?
Yeah, generally. And let me just, to your point earlier about how different committees or different county committees are structured, mm-hmm. and if some counties are more heavily Republican or Democrat, whatever the case is, at the end of the day, what it comes down to leadership. And if you've got great leadership at the top in your county chairperson, whether Democrat or Republican, that makes all the difference in the world. And it starts and ends with leadership. So if you've got good leadership, you're going to have a good infrastructure. It comes down to organization. Without organization, I've just seen it over and over again. You potentially could have a very strong candidate. The issues could be on your side. Enrollment could be on your side. But without strong leadership at the top, without organization, I've seen campaigns fail before, many of them. To your point about your question about what candidates and volunteers and committee members go out with, yes, it usually is a stack of many, many petitions. As example, in Saratoga County this year, where I'm from, we're carrying everything from state Senate, state assembly, state committee memberships. We're carrying our own committee member petitions, district attorney races. And in my hometown of Malta, we actually have a local race, receiver of taxes that we're doing this year.
Ooh, that's a hot one.
Yes, it is.
Well, we're doing a separate show just on that, actually, so that's good.
Yes.
I'm glad to know you're covering that one. Well, you mentioned the DA's race, and I think that's, you know, a good way to bring up the point of outsiders. So in that race, I believe DA Hagan, how do you pronounce it?
Yes,
Hagan.
Karen Hagan
is, you know, the party choice. She's the establishment choice. But I know there was a potential primary challenger to her. So you know, in his case or in just any other case, how do those people get on the ballot? Because I assume you're not carrying for them, for example, you know, because they're not the endorsed candidate, right?
Correct. And so in a case like that, Karen Hagen succeeded Jim Murphy 4 years ago as district attorney, up for re-election this year. She overwhelmingly won, unanimous actually, at the full county committee meeting in April,
pretty good
endorsement. The challenger elected not to even show up at the full county meeting. So, you know, Karen is a candidate who obviously she'll have the full support. She does have the full support of the county committee. Everyone at the county committee level will be carrying petitions. It's not obviously not exclusive to this race, but any challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Race, it's very, very, very difficult to put yourself in a position to get those minimum number of signatures. You don't have in our county alone, you've got almost 400 men and women hitting the streets getting signatures.
No way to match that. Yeah.
So you kind of resort to, you really need to dig deep. You know,
family, hope you have a big family,
family, friends, personal Rolodex, professional Rolodex. And, you know, obviously some candidates will have to pay notaries or other volunteers to come in to pay for signatures as well. It's very, very difficult. It usually they can attain that minimum number of signatures, but it's very, very difficult. The other thing to point out too, and this may be something for down the road, but what's important in the petition process, and let's use the Saratoga County DA's race as an example. We're all competing, you know, Karen Hagen and her opponent, they're competing for Republican signatures.
Mm-hmm.
So what it comes down to, if Karen Hagen goes out and gets Bob Smith's signature on Tuesday, June 5th,
right,
but her challenger goes out on Wednesday, right, June 6th, and gets that same signature from Bob Smith,
yep,
that signature doesn't count. It's whoever gets the signature first, that's the valid signature, that's what counts. So you'll see in a situation like this, and this happens on minor party lines too, where there's primaries. But in a situation like this, you know, we'll gather petitions once everything's submitted. We'll scrub them. We'll go through and see if there's multiple signatures on either sets of petitions, and we'll go through and we'll say that one has to be disqualified because we got ours first, and vice versa. It happens on both sides.
Scrubbing. So yeah, the challenge process of going through potentially thousands of signatures. I mean, that's.
Well, you talk about Nerd
Sounds
Alert.
Awful.
No, you talk about Nerd Alert. That's actually one of my favorite parts of the whole petition process is to sit down and go through all this paper and look for those irregularities, look for the duplicate signatures, look for those fatal flaws that are sometimes in the petitions that have fatal flaws that have led, you know, my hometown alone have led to an entire set of petitions being tossed out because of a fatal flaw, and our local candidates losing the conservative line over that one but fatal flaw.
And you know, the chance for redundant collection is one of the reasons why people go above the threshold, right? I mean, is there a safe number? Do you say we want to get 10% above, 20% above? Is there any good rule of thumb?
Generally, it's much higher than that. I think it'd be much higher than that, actually. And again, regardless of whether you're running at the local level, county level, state level, you know, generally the advice I give to candidates is whatever your minimum is, try and shoot for at minimum double of that. In this case, in the district attorney's race, you know, I would try and shoot even for a little bit more than that, just because, again, you run the risk of those duplicate signatures. But a general rule of thumb is I always advise our candidates to shoot for double what the minimum number is.
And we'll be right back for the second half of my interview with Nick Willock after this brief message from our sponsor. Well, at least this is where a sponsor could go. Are you interested in reaching Albany insiders, informed voters, and my mom? Then consider advertising with the Capital Confidential podcast. Imagine hearing your carefully crafted script read by my dulcet tones. Why, it might sound something like this. With 3 days left in the legislative calendar, you need a lobbyist that can get results fast. At Big Ugly & Associates, we can be your message of necessity. We'll take your agenda right to third reading and have it on the governor's desk before he can say, as a party. And we're proud to say that none of our lobbyists have ever been indicted. Or something like that. I don't know. I'm not a writer, except for my day job. Well, and now, back to the show. We were talking a little bit about, you know, the issue with getting multiple signatures because, you know, people are competing for them. I know in the 19th Congressional District and the 21st Congressional District to our north, you had like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 candidates collecting Democratic signatures. So are those the sort of situations where it's really important to go that extra mile and collect, you know, super numbers of signatures?
Absolutely. And again, you're going back to, by the way, that commercial was brilliant, by the way.
Thanks. Well, you know, if the Saratoga County Republicans want to buy some spot time here, we're fine selling it to them.
So long as you do the voiceover.
Yes.
So You raise a fantastic point, but it goes back to what we spoke about earlier, that you know you're going out in mid-March to try and get in these signatures,
right.
And it's so difficult. But it only heightens the importance in terms of trying to knock those signatures, or, you know, knock signatures off,
right.
Have those petitions become invalid. The best race you can have is to not have a race at all. And
yeah,
the best
point.
Way to do that is to disqualify any opponent that you may have during the petition process. That's why we invest so much time and so many resources into that whole process.
And I know in the 19th there were challenges, and in the 21st someone actually got bounced because the people that they had collecting signatures essentially weren't valid collectors. The person had hired people because he didn't have the campaign apparatus, partially because in a primary like this where there isn't an endorsed candidate, it's an open seat, you're on your own. You have to find those volunteers. You have to find, you know, that second cousin who still lives in the district. And this person had people who I think their registration wasn't right for the district, and so all their signatures got tossed out. And, you know, now I think it's a good time to look at, you know, the other thing about March and problem with signatures is that in New York City, people will just go to train stations, and because it's where there's abundance of people, and just collect signatures with the hope that they're kind of in their district. But you will run into people, you know, they could be commuting. You don't know whether they're in the district out, and you have to go far and above just to do that, because unlike in upstate where I can go door to door, knock on your door, you know, in some of these apartment buildings, you know, you're going to be stopped by a doorman before you can get in. If you can get in, you're great. You're golden. You know, you can hit up so many floors and knock
right.
things out. When you go, do you try to find like a neighborhood where you can, there are like compact doors and, you know, you drive your car to one spot? Is there like a geographic strategy? Do you go with a friend? How do you plan it out?
Yeah, generally, you know, as with anything, you try and always run a campaign based on where you're going to get the most ROI, your return on investment, and it's the same, no different with the petition process. You want to go where you're going to maximize your numbers in the shortest amount of time. So, yes, you generally, you know, would pick very condensed neighborhoods. Suburban neighborhoods generally tend to be the best,
right.
Especially the times of days that
when do you want to collect?
Collectors go out. I mean, generally, you know, weekdays – I'm usually out from 4:30 until just about sundown, about 8 o'clock these days.
So what's that awkward feeling like though, when you're knocking from like 6 to 7, when you're pretty confident people are sitting down for dinner? I mean, are you like anxious going to the door? Are you like, oh man, I'm so sorry. And how do people respond?
Well, for a while when I was much younger in this business, and I was just going up to doors and with a clipboard and cargo shorts, and I just looked like a young punk. People just thought I was selling insurance, I don't know what they thought I was, but then I figured out, you know, I started to think about it a little bit more. So I always have a sticker campaign so identifies me, because that you'll notice people say, well, they see the sticker. So they're like, okay, man, I'll answer the door. It can't be something that bad. And then generally what I do is on the walk up a particular driveway or walkway, if I see a Red Sox flag, a Yankee flag, if I see a cool car in the driveway, it's just an icebreaker. It's something
right.
that opens up the conversation. So the person answering the door feels a little bit more, you know, not as hesitant to strike up a conversation with me. And then I get into my whole spiel. Hey, I'm a volunteer for our local Republican committee. I'm out collecting signatures. Could you take 30 seconds to just sign these 6 petitions for me? Would really appreciate it. And it all goes well, and I have great success with that. But you always the best advice I can give to anyone looking to go out and get signatures, it's you always want to have some sort of, if possible, have some sort of talking point before you get to the door.
And are most people receptive because, you know, they are a Republican and you're caring for a Republican candidate and they're, you know, excited to help the cause, or how do people respond?
Generally, you know, it obviously depends on, there's some local factors as well. Sometimes local politics can play a factor
right.
into it. Obviously, national politics can play a factor into it. I mean, I was on a race recently where, you know, we had people say, you know, lifelong Republicans, and they were so upset with their representative in Congress for whatever reason that they said, I'm never voting for another Republican again.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't give our candidate the time of day to even listen to what they're about. You know, it's up to just slam the door in your face. I'm not voting for another Republican again. So it can be challenging. It can be difficult. They are few and far between, but I always say if you have that talking point, if you have a warm personality, don't just, you know, shove a clipboard in somebody's face. Engage with them a little bit. People want to, the number one thing, especially in politics, retail politics, especially when you're going door to door, people want to feel like they're being listened to. So
right.
Just go and listen to them. It means the world to them. And even if you don't absorb everything all the time, and in those times that you do take down notes because you want to give back to, you know, your candidate, just listen to them. It means the world to them. And I will tell you that, you know, when people go to the voting booth and if they have to choose between candidate X and candidate Y, and candidate X took time to, or their volunteers took time to speak with them,
right. They're
always going to vote for candidate X.
Is that contact with a voter also a good opportunity to establish, you know, some sort of, record of who they are? I mean, there's like software that campaigns use to track voters, to, you know, ensure that they can get out the vote. So if you have like a positive reaction of someone, do you then record that interaction and make sure, you know, hey, let's make sure we send them a get out the vote flyer because they seem to be like a good voter, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. Any positive interaction that you get at the door, that's obviously marked down and they get built into what's called our GOTV, our get out
right.
the vote database. So they'll get multiple contacts at the end of the final 72 hours of the campaign, whether it's another door hanger, whether it's another mail piece, a phone call, a live phone call, whatever the case is.
Right.
But on the flip side, if there's anyone who's, and also I anyone who's always positive, I'm never shy about asking for a lawn sign.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yes. People don't like lawn signs, and believe me, neither do I. But lawn signs mean nothing on a street corner. But if you put
yep.
lawn sign after lawn sign after lawn sign in a neighborhood and you've got your neighbors driving down and they're saying, holy cow, this candidate signs are all over the place.
Yeah.
That is psychologically. I mean,
my neighbor support this
exactly.
person.
And I like
maybe,
my neighbor.
Yeah, exactly.
I trust my
neighbor. Like politicians, but I like
my
neighbor.
I trust my neighbor, yeah. So I'm never hesitant to ask about lawn signs. But on the flip side, if anyone has any questions or someone's negative or if they heard, you know, the mudslinging that goes on during all these campaigns.
What a shame.
I know. If you need something cleared up, I will, as soon as I, either while I'm at the door, I'll call the candidate and just put them on the phone with that voter to clear it
wow.
up. Or I'll make a note, and either later that evening or the following day, the candidate will always call back because that's, if you can turn one vote like that or one undecided voter like that, that obviously could mean the difference. And obviously, we talked about this earlier, that meant a huge deal in a local race up in Malton
yeah,
in 2013.
One vote. So any odd interactions at the doors, anything that stands out in your 12 years of working campaigns?
So probably the most frightened I've ever been, that's probably the appropriate word to use, was I was actually collecting signatures, Republican signatures, in Rensselaer County for a candidate.
Uh-huh.
And it was in the Brunswick area. It was kind of on the Troy-Brunswick line, that area near North Lake. And I knocked on the door. I had my talking point. I saw some. I forget. I think it was a car in the driveway. I had my talking point. But knocked on the door, and no one answered. But the screen door was there. It was open. I could hear people inside. So I buzzed the bell again, and all of a sudden I heard somebody clearly from upstairs through an upstairs window said, "If you don't get off my I'll keep this G-rated. But if you don't get off my property right now, I'm gonna blow your brains out." And obviously I'm thinking, oh, wow, this guy clearly has a firearm and I better get the hell out of here right now. So I sprinted down the street
yeah.
and never turned back. But for those types of interactions that I've had, and that was the most frightening,
yeah.
certainly. I mean, I've had people invite me in for coffee and
oh, yeah.
ask me in for lunch or just sit down. And especially people I go to in my hometown. They see me every year, so
especially if you're with the candidate when you're going door to door, then that's the worst because it takes forever because everybody wants to stop and talk to them, and you just can't get anything done
because everybody wants to say, hey, I talked to that
yep.
that guy or woman running for office. That's really cool. But the point when a candidate goes out, the candidate should never go by themselves. They should always have a volunteer or someone on campaign staff with them. They're supposed to be the bad guy.
Right.
And
oh, we got to go.
Good cop,
yeah,
bad cop.
We got to go.
Yeah, we got to go.
Are you sure, Nick? Do we really know? I think No, sorry, candidate.
We got to go. We got 50 more houses to hit, and we got an hour of daylight, so yeah.
So I remember I was doing a third party, helping collect a third party line, and I wasn't Commissioner Deeter or notary. I was essentially the driver. And with some of these third parties, there's so few that are actually enrolled that you have to travel all over the place. You know, Working Families Party, Conservative Party on the other side of the line, they can be tough to find. The worst have to be the Reform Party and the Women's Equality Party, which each have like, you know, three people per like Senate district. So have you ever had to try to collect those, or people like more than, you know, hey, it's my, everybody always has to come contact me. What's that like?
Yeah, it's, they feel pretty special.
I can imagine.
You know, it's, you know, really, you know, I'll use the Reform Party as an example because I generally collect those.
Right.
In Saratoga County, there's, I think there's fewer than 10 that are, so you know who they are, you know where they are. So it could just be a random evening that I'm, you know, coming back from work, and I'll say, oh, I got to stop in Malta, or oh, I have to stop in Milton. Let me just stop there real quick and get this one signature. I know they're home. I've been there before, but, you know, they feel pretty special. But yes, that all factors in. You know, you may need just a couple of signatures on the Reform line, but that you have to plan all that out, and you have to dedicate even if it's just one evening and you spend
right.
3 hours just driving around getting three signatures, you need to do that in order to be eligible for the ballot.
Can petitions and the signatures you collect tell anything about the strength of a campaign in the case of like an open primary? I look at the 21st congressional district again to the north, where Tedra Cobb, one of the Democrats, made a big deal about number of signatures she got, and B, that they came from sort of all over the district. Is this a good sign of, you know, the strength of a campaign, and also the fact that, you know, they tout that they were collected by volunteers as opposed to paid people? Is this, you know, a good indicator of strength moving forward? Does it indicate you've got a good campaign infrastructure, or shouldn't too much not be read into it?
Well, I think generally. That does translate over into the number of signatures that you have, and, mm-hmm. and that the fact that you got them all over the 21st CD. I think that generally, yes, that can translate into wide grassroots support. I've also been, you know, again recently on a campaign where there was a third party candidate went out and collected his own independent.
A whole nother thing, yes.
Correct. He went out and he had to, this particular candidate had to go out and collect a minimum of 1,500 signatures in order to be eligible for the ballot. When you collect independent signatures, they can be from any party.
Right.
They can be anywhere.
As long as they haven't signed anybody else's
petition, that's correct. But what we, in this particular,
and that's a separate window too for collecting.
That's correct. That's a separate window that generally starts, that's after, the traditional petition process starts. What happened in this particular case though, was, the candidate was clearly just trying to pad the number of signatures that he had.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up going through and scrubbing, I think he ended up coming in on paper with about 2,400 signatures. We went through and scrubbed through about 700 weren't even registered voters. So again, sometimes it's just, hey, let's just get a signature. It doesn't matter. You know, let's just show that volume, which I get. And that can show strength. But, you know, sometimes people do it for those reasons because they want to show they have grassroots support. Some people just do it because they're not doing it the right way, and it's just to pad their numbers.
Because the board doesn't necessarily go through and check everybody. They essentially do what? They say, okay, you've got the requisite number. That's all it is. And it's up to a campaign to essentially say, actually, there's problems with X, Y, and Z, right? Isn't that how it works?
That's 100% correct. If you walk in with a petition volume and you submit it to the State Board of Elections, you're saying, yep, I've got the signatures. Here we go. It's all in order. It's ready to go. Yes, you're right. You're 100% right.
Unless you don't hit the number.
Correct. It's up to the challenger to, you know, make general objections. You have three. Once you make that general objection, you have 3 business days to then submit your specific objections. And then after that, once you submit your specific objections, you have 6 business days after that to submit all your paperwork saying, you know, on page 1, here are all the invalid signatures, page 2, so on and so forth. And another thing that can be deceiving is if somebody, a candidate walks in, they only needed to get 500 signatures. They, you know, let's say they maybe have 700, but they walk in with hundreds and hundreds of sheets
with one signature
on it. Yeah, they do. That's kind of, you know, some like to do that as an intimidation, flex their muscle factor. But like, oh, look at all these sheets we brought in. But it really doesn't. It's showmanship. That's all.
And, you know, for people who have never collected, you know, you have a petition sheet that has, you know, space for 10, 15, 20, whatever type of paper you're using has that many spaces for signatures. So, you know, like he's saying, you could put one signature per page and have tons of pages. Before I let you go, I just want to talk about a race you're not working on because it's a Democrat, but Cynthia Nixon right now is trying to get on the ballot to primary Governor Andrew Cuomo, who, as the party's designee, basically doesn't need to do that sort of groundwork. He's got basically an institutional way to get on the ballot. So right now, she is in the process of collecting signatures all over the state. She has to hit, is it 15? thousand, I think.
I believe that's right. For governor,
yeah. We're just guessing, but we think we're right. And but there are also other requirements. I think you have to collect them in certain areas. They have to be like from a certain number of congressional districts, and it's just. I mean, how daunting a task is she taking on right now?
It's incredible. It's incredible to have to, again, given the time frame that she's in.
Right.
Again, without, I don't want to say, you know, exclusively without any party support, because obviously there is some support she has within the Democrat Party that will go out and get signatures.
But I can't imagine there's like a county committee
No.
Let's collect for Nixon, because we really want to enjoy the wrath of Governor Cuomo.
No, I would imagine everyone's just going to fall right in the line, as they always do, and just go out and collect and do their work for the governor. But I think that it's an incredibly uphill, it's an incredibly daunting task. And the metrics of having to get percentage of signatures from here and here and here, I mean, I understand the intent and the spirit of what's trying to be done, but, I mean, it's very challenging, and especially when you know, many of, and I'll use state assembly and state senate members and candidates as an example. You know, right now they're in the midst of trying to close down session and get bills done.
Right.
Meanwhile, they and their campaign staff and their volunteers and their legislators.
A lot of overlap with those two.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a very chaotic time. So I can only imagine what it's like for someone like Cynthia Nixon, who has to meet all these requirements and deadlines with not a lot of true party infrastructure support. It's daunting, but you know, we'll see what she comes in with, and she certainly seems like a fighter.
Yeah, and though you know, you say it's kind of a hard test, but I think it is a good indicator, at least in this case, of whether she can actually even compete in the race. Because if she can't put together this sort of operation, then how do you have the get out the vote operation to be competitive in a primary in September?
And it goes back to what we spoke about earlier. It starts with leadership at the top.
Right.
You know, with good leadership from her and her campaign apparatus, but it comes down to organization. So you have to be organized, and you have to have that organization within your organization to be able to go out and do this stuff. And that truly shows the strength of any candidate or any campaign.
She'll see how strong the leftover Bernie network is, whether she can tap into that. Well, Nick, I really appreciate you taking the time to go through this. And, you know, there's going to be, I think, what do we got, 3-4 weeks left of petitioning? I think middle of July ends up. Well, good luck with the rest of that. Make sure you've got lots of suntan lotion on. You know, listen to any warnings to get off porches. And just stay safe out there. Appreciate everything today.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate it. Opportunity. Had a lot of fun too. Thanks again.
Just heard I tried to get you.
Ah! This day sucks!